Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. And we are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam. Oops. Oh, that's not good. That is not good. From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, The Glories of Devotional Service, Text 29. Yoga Bhagavad Bano Nirvanatmams Twayodita Kidrisha Kati Changani Yatas Tatva Vabodhanam Yo Yogo Bhagavad Bano Nirvanatmams Twayodita Kidrisha Kati Changani Yatas tattva vabodhanam Yo yoga bhagavad bano Nirvanatmams twayodita Kidrisha kati changane Yatas tattva vabodhanam Yo yoga bhagavad bano Nirvanatmams twayodita Kidrisha kati changane Yatas tattva vabodhanam Muttajes. Mystic yoga process Bhagavat Bana aiming at the Supreme Personality of Godhead Nirvana Atman. O embodiment of Nirvana. Twaya. By you. Udita. Explained. Kidrisha. Of what nature? Kati. How many? Cha. And. Angani. Branches. Yata. By which? Tatva. Of the truth. Avabodhanam. Understanding. Translation. The mystic yoga system, as you've explained, aims at the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is meant for completely ending material existence. Please let me know the nature of that yoga system. How many ways are there by which one can understand in truth that sublime yoga? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are different kinds of mystic yoga systems aiming for different phases of the Absolute Truth. The Jnana Yoga system aims at the impersonal Brahman effulgence, and the Hatha Yoga system aims at the localized personal aspect, the Paramatma feature of the Absolute Truth. Whereas Bhakti Yoga or devotional service, which is executed in 9 different ways, headed by hearing and chanting, aims at complete realization of the Supreme Lord. There are different methods of self-realization, but here Devahuti especially refers to the Bhakti Yoga system, which has already been primarily explained by the Lord. The different parts of the Bhakti Yoga system are hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayers, worshipping the Lord in the temple, accepting service to Him, carrying out His orders, making friendship with Him, and ultimately surrendering everything for the service of the Lord. The word Nirvana Atman is very significant in this verse. Unless one accepts the process of devotional service, one cannot end the continuation of material existence. As far as jnanis are concerned, they're interested in jnana yoga. But even if one elevates oneself after a great performance of austerity to the Brahman effulgence, there is a chance of falling down again to the material world. Therefore, jnana yoga does not actually end material existence. Similarly, regarding the Hatha yoga system, which aims at the localized aspect of the Lord Paramatma, it has been experienced that many yogis, such as Vishwamitra, fall down. But bhakti yogis, once approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead, never come back to this material world, as it's confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Yad Gatva Nani Vartante, which is chapter 15, verse 6. Upon going, one never comes back. Chakvadeyam Punarjanma Naiti, Bhagavad Gita 4:9. After giving up this body, he never comes back again to accept a material body. Nirvana does not finish the existence of the soul. The soul is ever existing. Therefore, nirvana means to end one's material existence. And to end material existence means to go back home, back to Godhead. Sometimes it's asked how the living entity falls down from the spiritual world to the material world. Here is the answer. Unless one is elevated to the Vaikuntha planets, directly in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is prone to fall down, either from the impersonal Brahman realization or from the ecstatic trance of meditation. Another word in this verse, Bhagavad Bana, is very significant. Bana means arrow. The bhakti yoga system is just like an arrow aiming up to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The bhakti yoga system never urges one towards the impersonal Brahman effulgence or to the point of Paramatma realization. This bana or arrow is so sharp and swift that it goes directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, penetrating the regions of impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma. So we'll read the verse one more time. Yo yogo bhagavad bano nirvanatmams twayodita kidrisha katichangani yadas tatva vibodhanam. The mystic yoga system, as you've explained, aims at the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is meant for completely ending material existence. Please let me know the nature of that yoga system. How many ways are there by which one can understand in truth that sublime yoga? Nama Aung Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Niravishesha Shunyavadi Paschachyade Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchika Patrulubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. So this is Mother Devahuti inquiring further from Lord Kapiladeva. He's already started introducing devotional service, really. Even though he's known for teaching Sankhya, but if what he's been teaching so far is Sankhya, then it's almost like synonymous with Bhakti Yoga. Yes, so, yeah, it's very much devotional service that he's talking about. It's very much, and Mother Devahuti has been deeply stimulated by these instructions. Of course, she was well prepared for receiving instructions. She was the very chaste, faithful, extremely pious daughter of Swayambhuva Manu and his wife Shatarupa. And then she was handed over to become the wife of Kardama Muni, whose great transcendentalist who'd already spent 10,000 years in meditation and extremely focused spiritual practice. So she became his wife, and he really, well, what to say, trained her or engaged her, or she just became engaged herself in a very austere program of service to her husband, but in a very transcendental context of Krishna consciousness. And that went on for long enough also. And then of course Kardama left home. And she never protested. She wasn't, yeah, anyway, she never protested. She did say, of course, that you must give me children. That was the agreement. So that happened, 9 daughters, and then Lord Kapila. And now Lord Kapila's instructing her, and we can see she is extremely interested in the instruction. She's extremely interested in the instruction. Sometimes it's said that women, even meaning devotees, sometimes it's said they're not so much inclined to really receive instruction on spiritual matters and really go deeply into that. Of course, we do see in some cases that there are definitely some ladies who very much are inclined in that way. But in the case of Prahlad, that, without going into the details, he was born in the ashram of Narada Muni, and Narada Muni would regularly instruct his mother while he was in the womb, while Narada was in the womb, actually. And the description is that Narada heard the teachings. It didn't really go in so much. Her mind, her consciousness was not that sort of consciousness. Now, like we said, that's not always the case, but sometimes it's definitely said like that. And so Devahuti is showing not just a willingness to accept spiritual instruction, but an eagerness, a real eagerness to receive spiritual instruction, and on receiving it, to analyze it and go into it further and try to understand in depth. This is a very important part of Krishna consciousness, to be able to accept instruction from suitable sources, from like valid sources, bona fide sources, and to really go into it very deeply and really take it to heart. So this is what she's doing here. Shishi Radha Radhanath Shri Giri Govardhan Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So here, of course, Lord Kapila has given a very simple introductory type of presentation so far, you could say. But it's very much about devotional service. And Mother Huti, she wants to know more. She's eager to know more. What is the nature? Can you describe in detail what happens? How do you practice this mystical yoga system, which is aimed at the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is actually Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, and what sort of perspectives can people have on that particular process? That's an interesting question. The understanding of devotional service can be performed in different ways. Different people on different levels with different natures who will then practice Krishna consciousness in different ways, all with a view to understanding jnana, as we discussed a little last night, jnana and vijnana, ultimately realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But until one reaches that point, practicing Krishna consciousness and cultivating the consciousness, which obviously includes understanding, in different ways, depending on your level and your nature. So these are pretty good questions, particularly the second question. How many ways are there by which one can understand in truth that sublime yoga, bhakti yoga, devotional service? That is a pretty profound question. She's obviously been thinking about these things, and she's been hearing about these things before today. So, well, as we heard, Srila Prabhupada explains in the fairly extensive purport that there are different kinds of mystical yoga systems which are aiming. That term is used here, and Prabhupada also uses it a bit at the end of the purport, aiming. It obviously has a very specific type of meaning, to aim an arrow, as even Prabhupada expresses. So there are different kinds of mystic yoga systems aiming not just for practicing bhakti yoga in different ways according to your level and your nature, but aiming for realizing different phases, Prabhupada says, different aspects of the absolute truth. And of course, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions three, including bhakti yoga, but two other well-known forms of mystical yoga, both of which are described at length in detail in Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada talks about jnana yoga, the jnana yoga system. It has an aim, like an arrow. It has an aim to penetrate into the impersonal Brahman effulgence, actually. That is what that jnana yoga is all about. Which also, Sankhya yoga is sort of a brother or a relative of jnana yoga, you could say, something like that. So that they're aiming for the impersonal Brahman effulgence and realization. But then Srila Prabhupada mentions the Hatha yoga system, which is aimed at realization of Paramatma, the Supersoul, localized personal aspect. Of course, that Hatha yoga, from Bhagavad Gita, and in general we understand, but certainly in Bhagavad Gita it's presented like that Hatha yoga is one part of a greater and broader process of yoga, which is Ashtanga yoga. In fact, it is one of the Ashta Angas. Ashta meaning eight, and Anga meaning limbs, or branches, you could say, like that, of Ashtanga yoga. So Hatha yoga is the asana part, but the way it's taught nowadays, it's also taught along with the pranayama system, which is not exactly the same as Hatha yoga or the asana part of Ashtanga yoga. It is another anga, actually. It's a separate anga, although nowadays in popular circles of yoga, from what I've read many years ago, pranayama is basically considered to be just one part of hatha yoga. Anyway, be that as it may, the thing is that definitely hatha yoga is not an independent form of yoga, but hatha yoga is one part of Ashtanga yoga. And the goal is, well, in other words, people should not, if people are thinking that we will just practice hatha yoga and we will realize the super soul, this is wishful thinking. You got to practice the whole Ashtanga yoga, all eight angas you have to practice, and then maybe you may realize the super soul, you may not also. But here, Devahuti is showing, demonstrating a much deeper understanding of what is yoga than the people who follow these other systems that we just mentioned. And there are other systems also. She's already aware, and she's been very struck by the presentation of Lord Kapila so far. So she's already aware that devotional service, bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness, is on a higher level. Oh, Krishna. What to do? What to do? Oh, anyway. Too bad. So yes, Mother Devahuti, she already understands some things. Now what is going on here, please? Ah. Excuse me, everyone. We'll try to get it back. Although, it may be difficult. Oh, Krishna. All right, we just continue. Unfortunately, we've lost it here. We've lost it. We have lost it. So this is Mother Devahuti. She's really on a more advanced level to start off with, understanding the position of bhakti yoga as the highest form of yoga. And knowing, as Srila Prabhupada points out here, that in either of the other processes, those types of processes, those processes which aim for those processes which aim for impersonal Brahman, or those processes which aim for the super soul. But there's danger there. There's great danger there. That even after achieving some form of perfection in one's process, even after achieving some type of perfection, there's still a great danger, particularly in terms of Brahman realization. There's a great danger that one will fall down again back into material existence. Even Paramatma realization, Ashtanga yoga and the related forms of yoga, there's a danger there that having even possibly actually realized the super soul, then one may make the mistake of thinking that this is me. I am the super soul. I have realized myself. And this is the last snare in God realization, to think that one is the Supreme Personality of Godhead oneself. Of course, it's very interesting in the second paragraph here. In the second paragraph, Srila Prabhupada, he raises a famous question. Who has not heard of this question? And who doesn't know that this is quite a question? How does the living entity fall down from the spiritual world to the material world? It seems that Srila Prabhupada, he gives an answer. He gives an answer. But it seems to be in a slightly different context to what one may be expecting or thinking he's talking about. It appears that he is talking about not necessarily a person not necessarily a person being in their constitutional position in the spiritual world and falling down from there, but in the spiritual world, meaning some form of realization like being in Brahman. If you're in Brahman, you're also in the spiritual world. Yes, at least according to others, numerous other statements Prabhupada makes in that regard. It seems like he's addressing a somewhat different question than the famous question that if we were in the spiritual world, how did we end up here in Chatsworth, or in the material world? Yes, so if one is engaged in devotional service very nicely, and if one goes back to Godhead, if one goes to the spiritual realm through devotional service, and one becomes situated in the Vaikuntha realm or Goloka Vrindavan, then one will not fall down. Because, Krishna addresses this as Prabhupada quotes here, some verses from Bhagavad Gita. Once you go back, once you return to the spiritual world, you never come back to this world. As I read, Srila Prabhupada said quite some years ago. So a devotee asked Prabhupada about this, and Srila Prabhupada said, "So far, no one has returned." Anyway, of course, we don't want to be the first ones. So therefore, we really need to absorb ourselves deeply in devotional service. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.